The first bit of the talk today is about new life. Because, of course, one of the things that has happened for the Tanners is they've started a new life living here in Northwood Hills. And I've already mentioned Malachi just across the road there and Jack and Rebecca starting a new life. And as we think about the whole idea of Easter, we know that it is about new life. So let's think, what happened on that first Easter day when Jesus rose from the dead? Nothing would ever be the same again. Now, for the Tanners coming to Northwood Hills, they've got lots of things to learn, but life isn't completely different, but it's exciting and it's new. For Jack and Rebecca, I guess their life probably has changed irrevocably as of a few days ago. It's a dramatic change because a new life has come into their family. But what happened on that first Easter? And as we think about Easter, we know that it is a time of new life, of great excitement and happiness and joy. And it's a time when you need to learn new things and think about things differently from what they were before. What on earth was it like for the disciples when they started to get to understand that Jesus had risen from the dead? And if you read the Gospels, you know it was jolly confusing and it took them a long time to understand. Yet when they did grasp it, they knew not only was Jesus risen from the dead, but that that changed everything. And that they too, by trusting in Jesus, became new people, a new creation. Are we excited today that Jesus is alive? And are we new people because he has changed everything? We're going to hear the reading now, which Paul's going to bring us, from the Gospel of John chapter 20. He's coming up to read it now, and then he's going to lead us in our traditional Easter response.
Okay, so we are going to read from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. And after the reading, at the end of the reading, I'm going to say, Christ is risen. And do you know the response? Wonderful. Hopefully a little bit louder than that when we do it. Okay, wonderful. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started to the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where. Where have you put him? And I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. So now together, Christ is risen. Risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Mary saw Jesus, but did not recognize him. Now, I apologize that I've told this story before, but I know there's quite a lot of new people, so you may not have heard this story. But my grandfather was in the First World War. He was a real joker. He loved his games and jokes and teases. But at the age of about 16, he went off to fight in the trenches. And he was then captured and spent the last year of the First World War in a prisoner of war camp. But because his area, his trenches had been overrun, his family received, as you did, a telegram that said, "Missing, presumed dead." And so those in the family, his dad had died anyway, but his mum and his sisters and brother believed that he was dead. After the war, he was released. Now, imagine what he'd been like. He'd been in a prisoner of war camp for a year. He'd grown a long beard. When he went away, he was just a boy. His skin was much darker because he'd been working, digging outside most of the year. And I told you he was a joker. So he rushes to get home. But when he gets to the front door and knocks on the door, and the door opens, he can see immediately that his mother doesn't recognize him. So he says, "Does Fred Reveley live here?" And she said, "Fred Reveley." And before she could say anything, his sister, who was upstairs, had heard his voice. And she screamed, "Fred!" and ran down. Because by hearing his voice, she knew it was her brother, my grandfather. That account is why I'm here today. If that hadn't happened, I wouldn't be, would I? Because he's my grandfather. But how much more amazing it must have been for Mary. Because it wasn't that Jesus was missing, presumed dead, but that Mary had seen Jesus put to death on the cross. She'd seen him dying there in pain. Perhaps she'd seen the blood and water come out of his side when the sword, where the spear went in, that mark that I think it's called the clot and the serum, were already separating. And she had seen him buried. She knew the stone had been rolled over and he'd been wrapped in those grave clothes without breath, without life. So no wonder when she saw someone standing by the tomb, she thought it was the gardener. But when Jesus spoke to her by name and said, "Mary," she knew that Jesus was alive, that he had beaten death. And that word, her name, spoke to her heart and proved to her that he was risen. Have you met the risen Jesus? Do you know him? Does he want to speak your name today to you, to give you that assurance that Jesus is alive, that he loves us, that he wants us all to receive his love, his salvation, his forgiveness, his peace? Jesus is alive. Let's read on some more of the story as Candy now will read to us the next part of John chapter 20.
So I'm reading from John chapter 20, verses 19-23. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
A lovely tradition in the Anglican Church is the tradition of the peace. And that's a great opportunity for us all to go and hug one another. Unfortunately, not in these days. Well, you can hug in your bubbles, but beyond the bubbles, we're not allowed to do that. But the words that Jesus spoke when he came to his disciples were, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Jesus stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." So and we can see the many of the faces up on the screen as well. And this is an opportunity for us to say this together. I'm going to say to you, "The peace of the Lord be always with you." And you reply to me, "And also with you." And then I'm going to say, "Let us show one another a sign of peace." Jesus stood among them and said, "Peace be with you. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And also with you." Let's wave to one another and show one another a sign of peace. And we're going to pray together now. And especially with younger ones, this is a time when you can talk and pray and chat with them and so on as well. Because I don't know if you can see, I've got four things here. And I'll just tell you what they are. The first one is a palm cross from Sunday. And when you think about the palm cross, I'll leave them here so you can remind you. Say something that you can give thanks to Jesus for. Something to give thanks to Jesus for. And you can talk about it in the family groups. You can talk about it in your bubbles or on the screen, whichever you like. So that's the first one. Something to thank Jesus for. The next one is a mask, which we've become all too familiar with, a face mask. And that's a chance to pray and thank and say to God, "Please help someone who is sick or sad, in hospital or sorrowing or anything of that sort." So lonely perhaps as well. So that's a chance to think about someone who needs God's special help in the prayers. The third thing, and this is good news, everyone under 18 gets one of these when they leave, you'll be glad to know. So stick to the end of the service and you get one of these as you leave. Anyone over 18 who wants one in the church can probably get one too, I think. We've got quite a few. So there we are. As you go out, you can have them. Sorry if you're on Zoom, you'll have to imagine this, but this is an Easter egg in the bag, obviously, the Easter egg. And that's for you to give thanks to God for someone who's either given you an Easter egg or you'd like to give an Easter egg to. Okay? So that's thank you for someone you love. Okay? And then the last one is a torch on the end here. These are torches that Philip Watson found. They're very good torches, actually. Quite bright, even in this weather. So very good. And Philip Watson found these and gave them to a number of us who won a quiz. So you can see I was a winner, which is good to remind everyone I won the quiz. Okay. And this is to shine light into someone's life. So someone who needs to know about Jesus. Okay. So thank Jesus for something about himself. Pray for someone that's sick or sad. Give thanks for someone that loves you, might have given you an Easter egg, or if they forgot, forgive them. And then on this one as well, someone who needs the light of Jesus in their life. So just a home as well for the next 2 or 3 minutes, and then in a few minutes I will bring us together to pray. But if you talk and share together, pray together where you are in your bubbles, thinking about those things, something to thank Jesus for, someone to pray for who's sick or sad, someone who you want to give thanks for, someone you want to know about Jesus. Okay, a few minutes, please. I'm going to finish our time of prayer with another prayer. Almighty God, who through your Son Jesus Christ overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of the Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
I'm going to read from John chapter 20, verses 24 to 31. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out to your hands and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus has performed many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name.
Thank you, Luke. So we've had the whole of the reading of John chapter 20 through the service. And I want to just to finish by picking out what John himself tells us about why he wrote this biography of Jesus. We often use the word gospel, but of course, for most people, it's better to use the word biography because they understand what that means. It's telling us about the life of Jesus. And we've got four biographies, haven't we? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And John tells us in those last couple of verses that were read to us just now why he wrote the biography of Jesus. In fact, he tells us that he had to be selective in what he chose to write down. He couldn't write it all. He says this: Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. And if you compare John's gospel with the other three gospels, you'll see all sorts of stories that John chose to not put in because he wrote with a specific purpose. And this is his purpose: these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Remember that word from Friday, the Messiah, the Christ, King, the Anointed One, the Chosen One. Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So he wrote down all of this biography of 21 chapters. You can read the last chapter a bit later on today, perhaps. Of all the chapters he wrote down because he wanted to say, look, this is more important than anything else. That you get to see who Jesus is and you get to understand what happened to Jesus. This is the most important thing that you can ever know. And the first thing he said about the King of Life is that God raised Jesus from death. God raised Jesus from death. The accounts in all four of the biographies tell us about different people who came to realize that the tomb was empty, that it hadn't been an accident, Jesus' death. It was part of a plan to rescue. And that God raised Jesus from the dead, and that that is why they were willing to go on through the rest of their lives. I think we've said this before in this church, of the disciples we know, there were 11 of them excluding Judas, and 10 of the 11, we believe, died, were martyred because they followed Jesus, and people fought back against Jesus, but they died because they knew he had risen from the dead. And of course, this is the great hope that we have today. I just feel for Maria today. But Maria's mother was a Christian. And she knows, Maria, you know that your mum is now with Jesus. And the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and people saw him with his new risen body gives us that assurance that there is life after this life for those of us who believe in him, a new imperishable body. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about a seed that falls into the ground and then what comes up, which is so much more glorious. And somehow, when Jesus, the firstborn from the dead, rose from the grave, that was the evidence that death is defeated by Jesus. Of course, the reason that death affects us all is because the wages of sin, the outcome of sin, the result of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. That's the message. And if you want the simplest definition, probably in the New Testament, of what it means to be a Christian, you find that in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, where it says, if you say with your lips that Jesus is my Lord, and you believe in your heart, what? That God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. That's what it means. That's why God raising Jesus from death is game-changing. The most important fact in history. The greatest day in history. Because the history of mankind, of humankind, is rewritten with hope for life after death. And the second thing it shows us is King Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus the Messiah is the Son of God. Because elsewhere, and as we sang at the very beginning, or we had the words we said out loud at the very beginning, God raised Jesus to the highest place and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, because Jesus is the Son of God. And as you know, that other famous verse, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whoever believes on him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Jesus is the Son of God. The very first sermon that Peter preached, he said, God has made this Jesus, who we all crucified, both Lord and Christ. And finally, the King of life. You may have life if you trust in him. That was what John said, didn't he? He said, I'm writing this gospel, I'm writing my biography about Jesus, so that if you believe, you may have life in his name. And that is the wonderful promise. I don't know if you can read that. It says, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. That's another quote from this gospel, this biography. Something Jesus said to the people that followed him. If you follow me, you have life to the full. And so life being a Christian is not boring and dull. It is life to the full. Life being a Christian should be the most exciting experience we can have. And as we commit more to him, so we experience more of that. However old or young, the risen Jesus invites every one of us to trust him for life. To trust him for life. You can have life if you trust in Jesus. Now, the verses said believe in Jesus. But the trouble with believe in our language is that we've kind of made it a bit weak. We can say things like, I believe it's going to be snowing tomorrow. That's a risk, actually, we've been told, isn't it? I believe it might snow tomorrow. That's not belief like what John was talking about. What John is talking about is making a commitment, a trust. You put your trust in something. The sort of commitment is like someone who's on a zip wire or abseiling. You are trusting the ropes. If the ropes break, you're gone, okay? That's the sort of belief in we're talking about. I believe the ropes will hold me when I abseil or when I zip wire. That's the sort of belief we're talking about. Saving solid belief that really means something. And so that what John is saying is, you may have life if you trust in Jesus. Now, I just wanted to speak today particularly to any of you who are here in church today or on Zoom today because your mum and dad come to this church and make you be here, if you know what I mean. And that's what happened to me, and it does happen, and that's one of those things. It's great, though, because they're so keen for you to trust in Jesus for yourself. And what I wanted to say to you is that it's really important, not that you just go with the flow and drift along, but you yourself decide for yourself that you are going to believe and trust in Jesus. And if you're a guest or a visitor and you're looking in, and I know we've got some today looking in, I would say the same to you. It is important that you have your first Easter day, that first day when you say, I receive the new life that can be mine because Jesus died for me and rose again. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I also want to say that confessing with your lips is about being public. And so if you're here and again thinking about it and you know you've become a Christian, you trust Jesus, but you haven't been baptized yet, we are hoping to have a baptism service in the pool down here on May the 23rd. And that public expression of what you believe is very important too. So perhaps today it's something to talk about with someone else if you're concerned about that, because here is an opportunity to publicly declare that you follow Jesus. But finally, as I finish, I wanted to ask all of us this question. Are you trusting Jesus for living? Perhaps you have been a Christian for years. Perhaps you've become a Christian fairly recently, and you know you've moved from a position of darkness into his kingdom of light, and you know that you believe in Jesus. But is it affecting you living day by day? Are you living in his power? Are you living in his strength? And I just want to remind you again that when Jesus prayed, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is able to come within us, to fill us as we are Christians, and to give us the strength we need to trust Jesus for every day. We trust him for our salvation, but we trust him every day to transform us to be more and more like Jesus. Is this the Jesus that you know? This is the day that we celebrate the fact that he is alive. And he's with us now. And he wants each one of us to put our trust in him. We're going to pray. And then we're going to have one fantastic song to finish with. I don't think the police are here. If anyone breaks into song behind their mask, I'm not going to throw them out. If anyone wants to sing very loud, you can stand outside and sing loud and still hear the music. But I didn't tell you to break the rules, okay? So please hum, okay? You got my message. So we're going to sing Thine Be the Glory in a minute, okay? But I want to say very, very seriously, if there's anything that God has said to you today, if you're on Zoom, I've set up a Zoom with my name. It says Chris Reveley Chat and Pray. If you want to say anything, or you want me to pray with you, or want to tell me something, or God's spoken to you and you're on Zoom, please send a message to that particular address. Or if you want to share something that God said to you with everyone, you can do that as well, as you know, through chat. And if anyone here would like to talk more or pray more, I think the people praying today are Nikki Hunt and James. I will pray with anyone who is here after the service who wants to be prayed with if you want to. So, but let's just turn to prayer now, and let's just remember that Jesus is alive and that his life means that we can have life too. Let's pray. Hallelujah, Jesus is alive. And we praise you, Lord Jesus, that though you died, yet God raised you to life. Death could not hold you. You broke the power of sin, and you have the victory over sin and death. And we worship you today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done for me. Thank you that you are alive. Amen.